Dr. Earl Hackett was Deputy Director of the Institute for Medical and Veterinary Research at that university, having graduated as a doctor in Ireland. He was a leading pathologist and expert on blood, and a truly great broadcaster. He did a series on organs, on bodily fluids, and indeed the Body Programme, which finished 20 years ago on ABC Radio. This was his last offering. Listen to the rich, cultivated Celtic voice and the effort we went to at the ABC, even then, to balance left and right-wing politics.
I guess I've been repeating to you, week by week, the truth of the ordinary. Some of the straightforward biological generalizations and observations on which modern medicine depends, and which medical students pick up in their first years of study. Skin heals, heads ache, noses run, bottoms fart. Some people live, some die, and in the long run, we're all dead. But how? And does medicine help? Medicine's full of empirical facts. When you first begin to learn it, there seems to be nothing to hold them all together. On top of that, the teachers in a medical school seem mainly to be trying to turn you into carbon copies of themselves. So it isn't, or wasn't in my day, always appropriate to ask one's teachers why they did this or said that. It would be questioning their reliability. Medicine wasn't a why, it was a how subject. Thus, the lack of connectedness between the things one learnt often meant one took the unexpected without question or surprise. Once, in my earliest junior medical student days, I was dreaming away in the hospital outpatients department while a very formidable, very senior physician held forth about a patient, a young man, who was waiting for us in an adjoining room. My dream interrupted itself when I realized the very senior physician was speaking to me. "Go," he seemed to be saying. "Go and find out whether he's read Marx." Excited by the possibility that we were going to throw a dangerous communist out of the hospital, I went round to the young man and looked at him sternly. "Have you read Marx?" I said. To my astonishment, he confessed immediately. "Yes," he said, and now, from the way he looked at me, I could see he was obviously quite ready to use force to overthrow all our free democratic Western values, even representative parliament itself. "Yes," he said defiantly, "I have. I've read Marx on my knees." I hurried back with the news. "Sir," I said, "you're right. He has read Marx. On his knees." "Well," said the very senior physician, "what do you think?" My 19-year-old mind raced. "I think he should be given a chance." "Sir, what if he promises to read Adam Smith on his knees and comes back in a week?" "The quality of mercy, sir," I said, "should not be strained. Even in the outpatients, it should droppeth on everyone." "I don't know what you're talking about," said the senior physician. "Did you take his trousers off?" "No, sir. Have you considered erythema nodosum?" I'd never heard of it. "No, sir," I said. "Go and read it up, you young fool, on your knees if you like. And Hackett..." "Yes, sir." "Don't come near this clinic again without having properly examined your patient, or I'll droppeth on you. And don't make jokes here. Sick people aren't funny. Now get out of my way." In such ways are we doctors trained. I looked up erythema nodosum. The book said, "An inflammatory disease of the skin and subcutaneous tissue, characterized by tender red nodules, predominantly on the lower fronts of the legs, but occasionally on the arms or face. It's most commonly associated with a streptococcal infection of the throat, but in many cases no cause can be determined." If I look it up again in a recent book, many years later, I read almost exactly the same thing. The outlook is good. It'll probably go away within the year, so reassure your patient and take care of him in the meantime. Search for any other associated disease. Give penicillin if you find a streptococcal infection. All very practical. But not in the least interesting in any general way, because the information is quite disconnected from any open area of science, history, literature, or anything else. Now, Privately, today, the way I fit erythema nodosum into my scheme of things is to remember that when there are local areas of painful inflammation that affect the deeper layers of the skin of the legs and arms and face, this is possibly because those areas are colder than the main trunk or the deep parts of the body. Now, there are some temperature-dependent chemical reactions between substances such as antibodies and others such as bacterial products. And maybe here we have such a reaction taking place in the walls of small blood vessels and doing so more readily in a cold part and hence the strange local inflammation. So maybe that's the explanation of the erythema nodosum syndrome. Anyway, it's the way I'd teach it to you so that you'd have more than isolated facts about those red marks to hang your memories on and your understanding. And that's the way I've been trying to present the human body and its diseases to you on this program, always connected to other things, sometimes even to deliberate jokes. Jokes have their place in explanatory teaching. They're attention holders. Poor jokes hold the attention by being annoying, good ones by giving pleasure. And when I've wanted to transmit feeling, I've used poetry. Behind medicine, there are general biocultural ideas about impairments in health and well-being, which, being learned first, make the rest easier to fit in and to recall. Mind you, such biocultural ideas are seldom of the yes-no kind that support sciences like, say, electromagnetism. But our human bodies are part of the grand biological scene, and much of medicine, indeed the really successful parts, are bits of intelligently applied biology. They take into account the properties of living tissue and the unifying notion of Darwinian evolution. Commonly, I relate medical phenomena to that general background, and I've done it not for purposes of making medical knowledge any better, but simply to make it possible to explain it to a wide audience. The oldest and most famous admonition in the Western world is "Know thyself," ascribed variously to the seven sages and to the oracle at Delphi. I think it means knowing your body, as well as what you think and what sort of person you are, your hopes and doubts. Alexander Pope said it more elaborately. "Know then thyself, presume not God to scan. The proper study of mankind is man. Placed on this isthmus of a middle state, a being darkly wise and rudely great, with too much knowledge for the skeptic side, with too much weakness for the stoic's pride, he hangs between, in doubt to act or rest, in doubt to deem himself a god or beast, in doubt his mind or body to prefer, born but to die, and reasoning but to err, alike in ignorance, his reason such, whether he thinks too little or too much."
Dr. Earl Hackett, the doctor on the wireless, giving his last broadcast. He died in Sydney a few days ago at the age of 88. He was also chairman of the ABC. And a very good one.